Okay. There, is that better? Thanks. The last verse of that hymn was written on an asylum wall by a man that they took out after he died. He didn't write it after he died. He had written it on the asylum wall, and after they took him out, that's when they found the last verse. Then they wrote the first two verses. What an incredible thing that a man who's locked up for being crazy would know and write that hymn. Would we think the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every blade or every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. All God's people need to say amen to that one. Okay, take your Bibles, please. The last time I was here, I spoke to you on Daniel, and I'm just going to refresh your mind what we said. Down at the bottom of the page, it was Daniel was a man of purpose, of purity, of piety, of preferment, of prayers. We're going to look at that when I get a bit today. Of politeness, of personableness, of prosperity, peace, perfections, principles, and praise. Those were ones that I gleaned from the book of Daniel. And then what I did is at the bottom of the page, I said, how do each of these apply to us in the New Testament? All right? It's one thing to read Old Testament stories, but if they're not applicable to us, well, they were just a nice story, something we should read the kids before they go to bed. No. The Word of God is living and powerful and active, right? It's supposed to have an influence on our life. So we looked at all of those. So today we look at a different one now, another one out of Daniel, another message out of Daniel. So it's not in Daniel chapter 5. It's just I just numbered those sermons. It's chapter 6 of Daniel. And so we're going to start, and we're going to read the whole chapter through, and then we're going to comment on it. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. So there's 120 of them, right? Okay? And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault. How well do you think they looked? Was it just a casual look, or were they diligent in their looking? They were diligent. They were really seeking something to find out against him, right? So it says, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Right off the bat, that begs the question of Mark Andrade. If people examine my life, what will they come up with? I'm ashamed to know what they would come up with if they looked hard enough. But the man of God, the person of God, the woman, the child of God needs to have a good testimony before the world. I learned that too late in life. Look to this for a good lesson. And when we conduct ourselves in the world, we need to have this with us. What a wonderful example this is. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and thus said to him, King Darius, live forever. Oh, wow. They're in his good books right off the bat, right? They'll live forever. Sure, but their sneakiness is about to come out. All the governors, that's not true because Daniel wasn't one of them, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the laws of Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Up until this point, we know that he really thinks a great deal of Daniel, this king does, because he wanted to set him over the whole realm, over the whole kingdom, and he was faultless, and his whole purpose in this kingdom was to see that the king suffered no loss, all of those things. He's a wonderful man, okay? Watch what happens. So these guys have hatched a crooked little plan, and watch what happens. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Sounds like a good custom. How many of us spend time daily in prayer, even once? There's lessons here. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, that thing is true, according to the laws of Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Yep, I did. I signed it. Watch what happens. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, you can just hear the sarcasm dripping off their voice, that Daniel, and look at how they say it, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petitions three times a day. He's not guilty of just once in a while, three times a day, right, is what he says. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased, and it doesn't say with all the counselors. He was displeased with who? With himself. Why? Because he knew he'd been had. He knew that he was absolutely backed into a corner. He'd been tricked. So he says, he was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Do you know what happens here? The king loves Daniel. The king loves Daniel, and he sets his heart on him to deliver him. But watch what happens. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. We're reminding you, you can't change these things. Oh, yeah, okay. So the king gave the command. It wasn't a suggestion or anything else, it's a command. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually. What a wonderful witness this king bears of a man. He's a heathen king bearing witness to one of his slaves. What a wonderful thing. How does the world think of you? The king spoke to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Who else had a seal put on a tomb? The Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate gave his signet ring, and they put it in, and the elders of Israel all watched as they did it. Oh, under the authority of Rome, don't you dare touch this. Incredible. Keep going. That it couldn't be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Two testimonies there. One Godward, one earthward. What is yours? Now the king was exceedingly glad. And we'll get to that verse. Where else do you read the word exceedingly in the New Testament coupled with joy? Now unto him who is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with what? Exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be dominion and power. No. Glory and honor, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Okay? Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because the lions weren't hungry. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. The lions were hungry. They had all their teeth. They hadn't been to the vet and had all their teeth pulled out. There was no injury found on him because he believed in his God. Think about that. And the king gave the command. This is the second command he gives. The king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote. Now watch what this heathen king writes about the God in heaven above. To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. When you come to know about God, what is the very first thing that you're impressed with? Peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace I leave with you. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion, my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. Oh, sounds like words we looked at on the screen, right? Sure, his kingdom shall endure. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And all God's people said, amen. Now, I want you to grab this thought in your mind. We have a great conflict here between love and law. The king passed a law. And it said, whoever makes any petition. Now, it wasn't a very smart law this king passed, because it meant that children couldn't ask their parents for stuff. Don't you dare make any petitions. Now, he didn't think that through very good, did he? He got tricked. The beggar on the street couldn't ask for alms. Well, I guess I'm going to starve until the 30 days are up so that I can ask for people for some food to eat again. Whatever it was, nobody could make any petitions. The king didn't think it through very quick, but nonetheless, the king made a law. Well, we have a greater king who's made a greater law. And he says the wages of sin is death. That's the law of God. It is the law of God. And you say, well, wait a minute, God loves us. Well, like this king, there's love and there's law. How are they resolved? This king loved Daniel. God loved Daniel too. We know that because he's like the Old Testament version of the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John in the New Testament, right? In the New Testament, John is the disciple whom Jesus loved, we're told. But in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, three times, the angel says to Daniel, O man, greatly beloved of God. It's incredible to me that this man, because he'd been made into a eunuch, could never go into the temple of God again. Could never go into the temple. But God sends him the angels. He had church where he was. What a wonderful thing. But we have this king, our great king, who has made a law. The wages of sin is death. And no matter how much this king loved Daniel, he could not circumvent his own law. Our great king, no matter how much he loves fallen humanity, cannot and will not circumvent his own law. The wages of sin is death. Death. So how can it possibly be reconciled? Well, in the story that we've just read, the king labors all day right up to the point where the day changes, because that's the meaning of it. At sundown, he gives the command, and they bring Daniel, and they poke him in the den of lions. And he goes away to a sleepless night. No musicians, no, he can't sleep. He waits until, okay, he's been in there. Maybe it's 4 in the morning, it's 4:30. I have no idea what time he finally gets up. And with haste, he goes down to the lions. And Daniel, Daniel! His last words going in were encouragement. His first words are you still alive? Is your God able to deliver you? Oh, king, live forever. My God sent his angel. Shut the lions' mouths. And I have done no wrong before God or before you, king. And the king, whose great command was poke him in, says bring him out. The law of God cannot be overruled by love. We love our children. The law of God still stands. You get a wonderful picture of this in 2 Samuel chapter 18. You don't need to turn there. But that's the story of Absalom's treachery and treason against King David. His own son was treasonous against him. And it says, and God purposed to kill Absalom. Why? Because the very office of the kingship had to be kept. When they bring David news of Absalom's death, the last couple of verses of chapter 18 of 2 Samuel, you hear David's heart-rending cry. Says, "Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, Absalom, would to God that I had died in your stead." But he couldn't. A godly king could not circumvent the law of God. Here we have an earthly king whose law could not be circumvented. But he gives the command. When Daniel's life has been spared in the den of lions, the king gives the command, "Bring him out." And that command gave the very had the very same authority behind it and the very same power as the one that said, "Put him in." Our great king said the wages of sin is death. Christ came and died for us in our place. That's exactly what it is, in our place. We were guilty and condemned. Christ died in our place. The law of God is now completely satisfied. The wages of sin is death. Mark Andre, your sins demand a death. Jesus Christ steps up and says, "I die in his place. Therefore I, Mark Andre, am allowed to go free." The love of God cannot overcome the law of God until a sentence has been carried out. But the minute the sentence is carried out, the love of God overwhelms the law. They poked Daniel in the lion's den, and he was in there long enough that the lions could have done their stuff. And the minute that that sentence is fulfilled, yes, he was poked into the den of lions. The minute that that sentence has been carried out, the king is at liberty to see, bring him out. Now the love of the king overwhelms the law. Overwhelms the law. The love of God our Savior for us has overwhelmed the law of God that says the wages of sin is death. The death happened. The law has not been circumvented. Satan can't stand up in heaven and say, "Oh God, you're not fair. You didn't demand the same penalty from Mark as you did for everybody else." He'll say, "Yes, my law is just and right and perfectly applied in every case, and his sins have been paid for by a death." And I stand there and say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ." Right? Sure. Let's work down your page here now. Some of these things are all on your page, but we're just going to work down because there's a few other things that we're going to get to. So Darius's greatness. Another great Gentile king like Nebuchadnezzar, but from a different people, a different kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was from the Babylonians. These guys are the Medes and Persians. Okay, the guy that followed Darius is Cyrus the Great. Sure. The continuity in this period of history is the presence of the Jews and the capable, dedicated, loyal, wise influence of God's man Daniel on the various rulers. Remember, he's about 70 when this happens. He's at least 70 years of age. He was taken over there as a young man, very young man, probably a teenager. Okay? He's been there for a long time. Sure. Daniel's greatness, its cause in history, now more than 70 years in this foreign land. The diligence of the evil men. And the excellencies of Daniel in all affairs. In all affairs. Do I have an excellency? Do I have a witness of God's graciousness? Do I have an excellency of testimony in all my affairs? Okay, what is my witness in the world? Consider Ecclesiastes 4 and 4. So we'll just flip over there. Grab Ecclesiastes 4 and 4. I can grab it for you. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4 and verse 4 says this. It says, "Again I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind." If you don't think envy's not a big emotion, remember what it says in the New Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ. For envy, what's next? They delivered him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, shows you that. It says, for every skillful work, was Daniel skillful in his administration? He sure was. Was Jesus Christ skillful in all that he did? Never a man spake like this man we read. He healed them all. There was no disease that was beyond his power. There was no anything. There was no hearts that weren't red before him. He knew everything. And for envy, they delivered him. Okay. Consider Psalm 27, 11 to 14. And Proverbs 27, I'll give you, no, Matthew 27 is the one about the Lord that I've just said. Proverbs 20, 7 and verse 4, it says, who can stand? I better read it because I'll screw it up here if I don't. Psalm Proverbs 27 and verse 4 says this. It says, wrath is cruel and anger a torment, but who is able to stand before jealousy? And the answer is no one can stand before jealousy. It's a wicked, wicked sin. It says, why the need for care? Because we're all human beings. The evil plot, a lie at its center. Oh, King, every one of us have got together, and this is the nice little law we've thought about. That was a blatant lie. Daniel would have had no part of it. Right? A lie at its center. What's at the center of Satan? God says he has been a liar and a what? A murderer from the beginning. If you chuck in your lot with Satan, you can be sure of two things. He's always lying, and he's out for your soul. He plans on murder. Nothing short of that. He doesn't just want to see you sick and in hospital for a day or two. He wants your soul. He's a liar and a murderer. Don't forget it, and don't let him fool you. Okay? A lie at the center, appealing to the vanity of man's natural heart. We all have one, so be careful. Somebody appealing to your natural heart? Be careful. Sure, but how stupid is nature as against nature? A child asking a parent for food, a beggar for alms, a subject asking a superior for considerations of any kind. How about the very king asking God for wisdom? In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. What are you guys reading in your spare time? Right? Who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. By the use of the law, they outlaw mercy that could flow from love. They said, now, King, we know you really like this guy, but the law is the law. It's the law. You can't change that. The law says poke him in the lion's den. You pass that law, it's got to happen. By use of the law, they outlaw mercy that could have been applied. Right? They're wicked men. They're wicked men. By the way, we're going to come to a verse, and I forgot to put it on here. It says about let judgment be without mercy to them who don't show mercy. And in the Beatitudes, the Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are the merciful. What's the next part of that? For they shall obtain mercy. Sure. The opposite then is true as well. The corollary of that is, if we don't show mercy, how can we possibly expect it? Right? By use of the law, they outlaw mercy that could flow from love. Their evil end, if realized, will justify their means, as it was in Christ's day. Remember that Daniel is brought up on charges relating to the king of the day, as Christ was brought up on a charge of treason against Caesar. We have no king but Caesar, and this guy speaks against him. What a trumped up charge that was. He's the one who took the coin and said, show me the coin. What's on this side? Oh, a picture of the king. Good. Render unto Caesar what Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Let that be a good benchmark in your life. Know to whom what is due. Okay, describe Daniel's prayer life. Constancy, habitual, thankful, scriptural. 1 Kings 8, there's one there. And Psalm 55, 16, it says, evening, morning, and at noontime, I will offer up my prayers to you. I'll read that. And it's always struck me, that one, because the Lord counts a day from evening to evening. And that's the way it is in this psalm. Psalm 55 says this. He says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. That's Psalm 55. Okay, how's your prayer life? By the way, remember what Eli Nesum taught us years ago. I don't know if you were there, but he said, a man's thoughts lead to his actions. A man's actions, repeated, become habits. The sum of a man's habits are his character, and character decides destiny. What was Daniel's greatest habit, even though in a in a foreign land from a youth up was prayer and care for the things of God. What is yours? We're in a foreign land. This world is not, it belongs to God by right of creation, but the people are far from him. What is your habit? Sure. The king is held to a standard that he enacted, although, albeit through trickery and deceit. All right? Sure, we know that. Our father is held to a standard, but not through trickery and deceit. He's held to it by his own perfect justice, and it will be fulfilled. Love cannot preempt the law of the great king. God's law is the wages of sin is death. Law overpowers love. The law is fulfilled. Sentence is carried out completely. Poke him in the lion's den, and he went in. Then, love overwhelms the law. Many great men have cause for self-recriminations. At the Lord's table, a man is to do what? To examine himself. To examine himself. Why? Oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, is what David prayed, right? Sure. Man's hatred knows nothing of mercy. It will always demand the full penalty. Man's hatred. He who enacted the law must see its completion, feelings notwithstanding. What is Darius's only hope now concerning Daniel? That his God would deliver him. Bring him in, he's got to get poked in the lion's den. I can't even be there to witness it. My heart is breaking. Poke him in. But on his way by, the king says, Daniel, your God whom you serve continually is able. There's faith by a heathen who doesn't even know the Jewish scriptures. What a wonderful example. Okay, what is my only hope for all eternity? What is my only hope? The same Savior that Daniel believed in. That is my only hope. No earthly king, no technology, no great smart guy south of the border, no anybody is going to be able to save me from the day of judgment that God calls for. Okay. Number 17, the place of death is sealed by that symbol of authority, as Christ's tomb was also enclosed with a stone and a seal. Oh, hallelujah, they are meaningless before my God. They don't matter a whit. If 10 million men had stuck their signet rings in the wet concrete and then let it harden, would that have kept Lazarus in? Would it have kept Christ in? No, absolutely not. An authority far higher than man's said, roll that stone away, and the angel did it, and Christ arose. Sure. Verses 18 to 20, what is the king's attitude, and how is it related to verse 14? What should our attitude when we know of a righteous servant of God condemned by the world? This is how the king felt about Daniel. He knew he'd been tricked. He knew all of these things, and he was sorry that he had been tricked into it. He set his heart on delivering Daniel. You do well to read Fox's Book of Martyrs if you haven't. What testimony of Daniel does the king state? That he served God continually. What testimony of you will the greater king state to all heaven and earth? Remember that, by the way, when you're called to stand before God in the day of judgment, all the angels, all the seraphs, all the cherubs, every living person who has ever lived is going to hear what God says about you. Did you enter into a relationship with God the Father through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior? If you didn't, all of heaven and earth will hear the words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But on the other hand, if you are one of his people, one of his servants, and you trust and obey, for, like the song says, there's no other way, then all the world will hear. There is therefore now no condemnation. Set him free. Sure. Next one. Daniel's reply is respectful and gives who the credit? Oh, king, live forever. God send his angel. God send his angel. Who do you give credit for in your life? For the things that you have? For the blessings that you've enjoyed? All of those things. Who do you... Well, I was such a smart guy. I went out there, and I did this and this and this, and my arm isn't quite long enough to reach all the way back here. Who am I giving credit to? There's a verse in the scriptures that says, Who causeth thee to differ? What have you received that you did not, that you weren't given? Who gets the credit? Sure, okay, over the page. The command of release carried the same authority as the command of sentence. And who could annul either one? The command of sentence in the ages to come and the command of release by our great king carry the same authority, and who can annul either one? Satan can stand there pointing his finger with all of his demonic angels and say, that Mark Andre's a no good. And God will say, my son Jesus Christ died for him. He has faith in the finished work of Christ. Therefore, be quiet. Go away. Sure. Who has set every Christian free, and who can overrule that command? As the three in the fiery furnace upon their release, so too Daniel has suffered no hurt. Why? Because he trusted in his God. He believed in his God. It's a very practical trust, isn't it? This verse proves the lions were not tame or well fed and simply not hungry or toothless. Munch, munch, crunch, crunch. What a yummy lunch bunch. Sorry, bad poetry. But you get the idea? The lions were still lions. They were still lions. This verse proves that God had saved Daniel. That somebody didn't just sneak him out and give him all a sleeping pill. Okay? 25 to 27, the king uses his position and power to make known the God of Daniel from his own experience. Do you? I love that scripture. God doesn't tell us all that we need to go out, stand on street corners, and be great orators. If he did, that lets me out. But he does say this, to be able to give to every man that asketh, what? What's the rest of that verse? A reason? Go ahead, guy. Right, a reason of the hope that lies within me. I have heaven waiting for me. I have the presence of God. I have perfection to come. I groan when I think of my own sinful self. And I think, Lord, there's coming a day, and what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day! Glorious day that will be. Sure. It says, how does he then describe God? Now carefully read the crucifixion psalm and note the reference to lions. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed that he would be delivered from the dogs, from the ox, and from the lions. And he wasn't. Why wasn't he? Because he died in my place. He died in Daniel's place. He died in Barabbas' place. I trust that he died in your place by faith that you have in him. Since Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's on the prowl and he's looking. Are you aware? Who is the only one who can deliver us from him? When we are brought up out of the lion's den into the presence of the king, because we believed in our God, what will be the attitude of the king towards us? Compare verse 25 to Jude 24. I've already covered that one. The king was exceedingly glad, and in Jude 24, it says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He doesn't say, now look, Mark, you're one of those rotten guys that we just kind of snuck a ticket over to you. Sneak in under that back tent flap, sit in the corner, and don't draw any attention to yourself. I don't want anybody to know that you're here. You'll make the rest of us look bad. There's none of that, is there? There is, on the other hand, bring that Mark Andre in. I'm going to present him to my Father and say, this is the work of our grace. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here he is before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think about that. You can make glad the heart of God. We used to sing a little song when I was a boy. It was, oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Why should I ever be sad? Jesus is coming, my cup's overrunning. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Sure. When reading Darius's, there's some other considerations. You can look up those ones. When reading Darius's words about our God, remember how recently Darius had come to the throne and his manner of attaining it. He himself had overthrown the kingdom of the Babylonians and knew how temporary earthly kingdoms, kings, and honors truly are. His words, therefore, about God carry greater weight and witness. I hope that the story of Daniel in the lion's den affects you as adults as much as it should little kids. Little kids, when I was a little boy, I read that story, oh, wow! The king said, poke him in, and then the king said, bring him out! But do you get it as an adult? Is your life wrapped up in Christ? If you are, Satan can put all the accusations against you that he wants. They're meaningless. Let's close in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we bless you and thank you and praise you. We worship you because you are our Savior. You have saved us from the lion's mouth, and we would know that that is Satan himself. Father, for all eternity we are saved. It's not something that we put on and put off and put on and put off. It's not a fan that we turn on and off, as the days get warmer or colder. We love you, we worship you, and we are safe in you. We thank you and bless you then for this time together. Father, cause us to think on these things. Cause us to read afresh the stories of the Old Testament and see how they apply to us. Thank you then in Jesus' own name. Amen. Stand up if you would, please. Can you make it, Deb? Good. You know the words out of Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. And what are they? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And all God's people said, amen. Goodbye, ladies. Pardon me? It's snowing again. Oh, well, that won't stop us from waxing.